I think that every woman who has ever interviewed Patrick Juanes falls in love with him because, as Mary Margaret said this morning at breakfast, she said, he's very unusual. He understands women. And that list is a real short list, men who understand women. So Patrick is with us and in more ways than one. And he will be talking to us now about easing holiday stress. I think you wrote some articles about that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I've been writing some articles for Date.com and Matchmaker.com and a couple of other magazines, identifying, I guess, I mean, I actually wrote a list of, like, the top nine things to do to ease holiday stress, and I don't know if we have time to go through
all nine. Oh, yeah, let's go through some of them, yeah.
Okay, well, I want to start with probably one of the most important ones, because I think that even though I didn't put it number nine or number one, it's the one that I try to leave people with, forgiveness. And I know we've talked about this before, that forgiveness is so important, and I say start first by forgiving yourself and then forgiving everyone else. Because you know what happens? We get to the dinner table or the event, and already all our resentment, all our anger, all our insecurities are starting to come up. And anything that any grudges we've been holding against someone the entire year, now we're going to throw it at them. And now's not the right time. And what I say, Sally, is that be aware right at this moment that it is natural. It's going to happen. It's automatic that the holiday period is going to trigger every insecurity you have, every negative emotion, every fear, every resentment, everything that you feel that the people in your family did or didn't do is going to come up around the holidays.
Why?
Two reasons. And I guess the first and the most important one is that at the end of the year, we don't even realize we're doing this. We're looking back on the year and saying, did I get everything done? Did I achieve what I wanted to achieve? And often we're beating ourselves up thinking we haven't done enough, we didn't get enough, we didn't achieve enough. And we're thinking about how we failed, even though we don't do it on a conscious level. The second thing is, and this is another one of my tips, it's about the expectations we've created, really bad expectations, where we expect ourselves to either have gotten rid of everything that's wrong in our life, you know, to have perfected our lives, or we expect that everyone in our family to by now be perfect. So a lot of it has to do with our expectations of ourselves. We get to the end of the year and we think, did I do well or didn't I do well? We expect ourselves to be better. And then, this is really bad in America. We do not take enough holidays. Forget the word vacation.
Oh, amen.
Holidays. You know, in Australia, we take 4 weeks a year. In Europe, they take 4 weeks a year, and they usually try to take it together or at least 2 weeks at a time.
No, in France, I must tell you, Patrick, since we spend a great deal of our life there in France, it's almost up to 7 weeks a year.
Well, Germany is 6 weeks, and when I was a journalist in Australia, I had to take, I think it was like, I don't remember if it was 7 or 8 weeks a year, but we had a lot of holidays, 6 to 8 weeks a year, and we had to take them. The problem in America is people live out of fear. Oh my God, if I take more than 3 days, when I come back, my job will be gone, or I won't have enough money, or how will I get by without the internet and email? And they're too scared to take vacations, and then they get to the end of the year, and they're so emotionally stressed out.
That's right.
So that's why the end of the year and the holiday period triggers all of our pain. Then we have the other emotional challenges, which is particularly strong for women, not just for men, because men will try and just, you know, ignore it, overcoming loneliness. At the end of the year, we're looking back, and maybe there's been a loss, maybe there's been grief, maybe there's been a breakup in our relationship, or maybe we don't have the relationship we were hoping for, we expected, or maybe there's problems in the relationship, or for some reason we're alone. You know, maybe there's a sickness in the family, and we can't travel, or they can't travel to us. Loneliness is a huge challenge this time of the year, and my solution to that is first and foremost, you're going to be surprised with this, allow yourself to feel the pain and the hurt. That means don't resist it. Don't listen to all the people around you tell you stupid things like, oh, be strong. Why be strong? Allow yourself to cry and let it out. But I don't mean wallow in the pain. I mean allow those emotions to come up, because if you don't let them out, they're going to turn into some physical ailment. So allow yourself to have that big cry or to say, I am alone. Let it cry out. Imagine it leaving your body. And then start to take action so that you're not alone. Either setting up dates or luncheons with people, or go and volunteer at a charity. Because when you're giving, And when you're contributing to other people, you'll feel better about yourself. It's also another way of connecting with human beings. Part of us being lonely, Sally, or feeling alone, is we feel like we have no connection to anyone else. We feel completely cut off and separated. So do the opposite and find ways to connect with other people.
There's so many charity things you can do in the holiday season.
And, you know, scientifically, it's proven that when you do a good deed, you commit an act of kindness, it raises your own serotonin level.
Yep.
The brain releases serotonin. Serotonin is the chemical that makes you, one of the chemicals that makes you feel good. The other thing is, you know, I like the introduction. I'm always touched by your, and humbled by your introduction that I understand women, so I'm going to say something that's going to annoy them.
Okay.
One of my tips is to let go of stubbornness, ego, and nesting. Mm. You see, and let's see if Carl agrees with me on this.
What do you mean nesting?
Okay, I here know. We go. At the end of the year, who is it that has the arguments about where the dinner, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Halloween, New Year's should be held? It's never the guys. The guys really don't care. It's the women.
Yeah.
Women say, it should be at my house. It's always at your house. That's what I call nesting.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's got to be done in my nest. I'm the queen bird, and it's got to be done in my nest.
You are so right. I'm going to chalk up some big points here, because I saw this one coming years ago when my kids started, you know, growing up. And I said to them, you can always go to the other people's house, so there are never any arguments, and we will have our family holiday a different day.
Yeah.
Like on, you know, in the middle of the week between Christmas and New Year's. And we always did that when I worked in radio odd days, and it's worked very, very well.
Yeah, what a great suggestion.
Good idea, though, Patrick. You're right.
And what I say here is, because here's the answer. Why do women want to do this? Part of it is just the natural, there are many reasons that this nesting is important to a woman, and so they want to be the host. But my tip here is, if you are not the host, if you are not doing the nesting, if it's not at your house, that doesn't make you any less of a person. It doesn't make you less significant. It doesn't mean you're not important. It doesn't mean you're not appreciated. So you don't, in that period, have to do. View it maybe as a break, or find a way to contribute so that all of you are contributing. Maybe, you know, you're bringing some extra dishes, dishes of food, or maybe you're literally bringing some extra dishes, whatever's required. So that you can feel included. So here's another tip. Be kind, open, and caring. You know, most of us, we're already on edge before we get to the actual event. When we get to the event, we're waiting for someone to say something wrong so we can let it all out. Yeah, notice how the ladies understand this. What I'm saying is, from the moment you press that doorbell, express gratitude for something. Say, thank you for inviting us. Thank you for having it at your place. Thank you for decorating the house, whatever it is, start with a thank you, because the host or hostess on the other end of that door has the same tension and fear. Will it go well? Have I done enough? Am I good enough? Is it going to be perfect? And you can alleviate and neutralize a lot of that pain and that fear by saying, thank you, I'm really grateful because I know you put a lot of work. I haven't even seen what you've done yet, but I know you must put a lot of work. Then when you see what they've done, you go, wow, you went to all this trouble for us. Thank you.
Very nice way to be. Very nice.
And so that's a really, really important one.
Patrick, isn't it the fact that you don't have a gift to give or something to bring that creates this insecurity and why people don't go out and do things?
That's a really good point, and it's very true, that when you are in a situation, particularly for men more than women, because women will still give the gift of appreciation. They'll go and find some small, meaningful gift. But the guys who don't have the money to buy lavish gifts will just hide in the corner.
Yep, that's
because
true.
The male ego says, I've got to be the provider, I've got to show you that I'm a conqueror, I've got to show you I'm a great hunter, and I've got to show you all my wonderful kills and hunts.
Yep.
And that's where we get screwed up, because we think that the only way that we can show them that we are something special and someone special and that we're successful and we've achieved something is via money. Whereas we forget, the greatest gift you can give someone is appreciation, kindness, love, gratitude.
You know, every woman I know would be thrilled if a man would take some time and effort and show that he thought about her. I remember hearing about one guy who made a beautiful evening and put rose petals up the stairs and drew a bubble bath and gave a massage, those kinds of things. Women just think are fabulous.
Especially as women, and I want to use the word mature, that means they've already gone through the crazy time in their life where they just think, you know, the partying and the gift is what it's all about. and then they've you know, usually been hurt and screwed over a couple of times, and now they're starting to appreciate the man who's going to give them something that they can't buy, who's going to show the connection and the heart connection and the deeper appreciation and understanding of the woman. So if the woman is into rose petals, he's going to do that. Maybe she's a woman that wants poetry. Maybe she's a woman that wants to be taken away somewhere, you know, just a different setting. Find out what makes her feel special. And since we're speaking about women, because women are very emotionally fragile around this time of the year, because they have so much stress on them as a mother or as a housewife, here is a great tip for every lady listening right now. Stop your partner, your husband, whoever it is that you're with, him or her, and warn them in advance that when you get to this event or party, when you get around your family, because your family is going to trigger every insecurity you have, there's a good chance you could have some sort of meltdown. And what are you asking for? Their support and understanding.
Oh, that's great.
Because you know what happens, Sally? You
that's
go there
great.
As a guy, you go there with the girlfriend, the wife, you don't know what's going to happen. And then suddenly there's this argument, and she's taking it out on you as well.
Yep.
And because you don't know why it's happening, you start to become defensive or offensive. Whereas if you know, she's already said, look, you know, whenever I get around my mum or my dad, you know, what happens is all my insecurities come up, or I feel uncomfortable, or I know dad's going to say something horrible, or mum's going to try and start an argument. I just need you to be understanding and patient with me.
Oh, that is very great. But by the way, that can happen from a man, too.
Yeah, well, the guy's got to be smart enough to identify it.
I don't know. I had a young man tell me that his father was just a very strict old world person. And at Christmas, when he gets around him, it's nothing warm and wonderful, and it sets him off. So I've had men tell me that. So
yeah, and on that point, I want to include this because here's another really important tip. I didn't number these tips, but these are really important. Don't talk about politics and religion at these events. It's not the time to convert anyone. Or here's the other biggest tip, and then I'll leave you with the final one. Don't wait for the big day to resolve whatever resentments and hurts and pain you have in your relationship.
Oh,
do it before.
Boy, are you right. And Patrick says, if all else fails, hang out with the youngest children because they're smiling, laughing, and playing. And that's why we love Patrick. What great advice. I didn't even want to interrupt him. I know we have all kinds of questions. Thank you, Patrick. Next time, fear coming up. I was remiss in not telling you that our last guest, Patrick Wanis, has a blog on his website, and he has success newsletters. And you can post your comments, and you can take a few exciting quizzes. We're going to have him give some of those quizzes. It's www.patrickwanis, PatrickWanis, one word, .com. PatrickWanis.com. And if you enter your email on his home page, you'll get all kinds of good stuff. And he is a celebrity life coach. And when he was talking about how women have gotten over the, oh my goodness, it's the gift and this, and have had some disappointments in life, and then they begin to appreciate people, I was thinking, do you think Britney Spears will ever be that age? Or Paris Hilton, will they ever? No, but
who
will
cares?
They ever? That's not the question. Will they ever grow up to be that age?
Paris will, because she'll think it's like a new cool trend. But only if it's a good trend.
She's going to think it's cool trend at 50, for goodness sakes. That's what I was talking about.
You know, I was thinking when he was talking about whether to bring a gift or you can't afford it or whatever, Mary Martin. Mary Martin was married to a very famous husband.
Larry Hagman's father?
Yes.
No.
Mary Martin. Well, let me tell the story while you think of it. At one Christmas, when they were quite poor, I understand, for Christmas, he gave her a bag of peanuts. And he said, I wish these were diamonds.
Aww.
Maybe 20 years later, he gave her a bag of diamonds and said, I wish these were peanuts.
Aww.
Isn't that great?
That is very great. He wishes they could do it all over again.
It was Moss Hart, wasn't it?
Mary Martin.
I'm looking.
I think you're wrong.
Richard Halliday?
No.
Ben
Hagman?
No, it's not Mary Martin. It wasn't Mary Martin. You have the wrong person.
Okay.
Okay.
She was only married twice.
That's the great story, and no, it wasn't her.